Welcome and good morning. I think I have something's too high here. I'm going to turn me down.
Gil, thank you. Welcome if you are joining us for the first time today, or back after a few Sundays in a row, or even back after, say, 19 months. It is so good to have you here. We are hosting newcomer gatherings on Sunday mornings in the Fireside Room, which is the room right across the outside through the narthex, directly across. So if you'd like to ask questions or learn a little bit more about Gilmore, please join me there following the service. Next Sunday, October 24th, is our covenanting service, a time of officially recognizing and committing and welcoming Reverend Bruce and Costa to Gilmore Park. It's a very special time. There will be folks here from the region, and we encourage you to come and to invite those other friends to come along next week as well. We're continuing our coffee and conversation time, a way to meet Reverend Bruce on Wednesdays, and this week, October 20th at 2 o'clock. If you'd like to come and have a simple, relaxed conversation, feel free to sign up by contacting Anna Marie in the office. And we invite all singers to join for the Christmas choir. I saw this weekend that there's 10 Fridays until Christmas. So that means the choir has started to prepare. And we welcome you to join them. And finally, before Costa speaks this morning, I'm just going to name a word of caution. There is a scam going around churches, not just the United Church, not just Gilmore, but all churches right now, online. And it comes in the form of an email. And it comes in an email that looks like it's from a minister that you might know. So it might say from Carrie Child. But if you look closely, the email address is a little bit odd. And the request is to buy gift cards for the church ministry. This is not true. It is a scam, and we would never send an email request like that. So please be aware and always pick up the phone and give us a call if you're wondering if there's a truth in that. We don't want anyone else that we know to be affected. And Costa's going to say a few words.
Good, we're working. Hello, everybody. Good morning. See, I can actually speak. I don't just do it through my fingers, yeah? Although I tend to do most of it through my hands, yes. Yeah. Nature of employment, I guess. I suppose I hadn't addressed you until now, because, you know, so many new things, and Reverend Bruce, and it's great honor, of course, and a pleasure to be serving you as music director. Today, actually, I wanted to introduce you to my best friend. There's a little box over here. Some of you may think it's odd in a place of worship in the house of God, but that's one of God's creations. It is. Most things are. Everything is. So that's been my best friend since I was seven or eight. And basically everything I have in my life, I have basically because of the accordion. It's an odd thing, and everything else came after it. So I wanted to bring that with you and sort of share some of the music that I make on it. Everybody is welcome and invited to choir. If you'd like to join it, we're a very, very inclusive, very open choir. You don't need to be able to read music. It helps, of course, but it's not a requirement. And prior experience is not a requirement either. It's just a love of singing and a love of praising God through our voices. That's all you need. And we're preparing a beautiful Christmas cantata. We're getting ready. And there's plenty of, it's very accessible music. Very accessible for everybody. So if you'd like to join us, Thursday nights, 7 until 9, or you can stay as long as you wish. If you can't make the full 2 hours, that's okay. Then Sunday mornings we meet at 9:40, so everybody's welcome.
So now let us take a moment, taking a deep breath in, becoming fully present in this time. We take a moment to pause and acknowledge the land we are on, remembering the history and offering gratitude to the work in this place. The lands especially recognized of the Coast Salish, Tawasin, Stolo, Kwantlen, and Musqueam people. This is one step on our path to reconciliation, a journey and commitment to listening, learning, and working toward justice.
Please repeat after Sarah.
God is here. God is here.
God is here.
All the time.
All the time.
All are welcome.
All are welcome.
All the time.
All the time.
Quite the balance of, I think I need to be turned down, Miguel. You've got the microphone, the mask, the glasses. There we go. It's my turn to share a story with you today. And it's a story that relates really well with our scripture, but that both Kids Church and everyone else are going to hear about in a little bit. The story is the invisible string. Now, do you want to sit with me or do you want to stay there? Stay there. Okay. So I'll stand. It's called the invisible string. It's been around a while, and it's a beautiful story. Do you want to come here? Then I won't hover over you here. There we go. There's no than a great story. So this story starts off by people sleeping. Two siblings are sleeping, twins, sound asleep. And then suddenly, bam, boom, rain, crash, storm arrives. And what do you think happens? They wake up and they run to mom. And they go, "Mom, we need you to come back with us to bed." And what does mom say? No. "Don't worry, you two. It's just the storm making all that noise. Go back. We want to stay close to you. We're scared." But how can... And mom says, "You know, we're always together, no matter what. You're always together." And one of the kids say, "How can that be possible when you're in your bedroom and we're in our bedroom?" And shares a story. She said, "I need to tell you about the invisible string. About the invisible string. The invisible string I learned about from my mom." So they listened. And the children said, "But I don't see a string." And she said, "Oh, but there is a string always between you and me. No matter where you are, whether it's you and me right here, Jordana, or if you're at your house and I'm at my house, we have an invisible string between us. That's right, because we have a heart connection, and that invisible string is there. So she went to say, a very special string made of love, always connected to everyone that you love. So they asked some questions. They said, what about at school? Yes, she said. What about when we're with our friends? Yes, that connection is there. Anywhere and everywhere. What about if I'm a submarine captain far away? Yes, the invisible string is there. And if I am hiking, or I'm a dancer in France, or I'm in a jungle somewhere, yes, the connection is always there. The string will always be there because love is stronger. So they asked some more questions about when that string would be there. And then there's this part where it says, what about Uncle Brian in heaven? Do we still have an invisible string if someone's in heaven? And Mom said, yes, we are still connected everywhere, all the time. Whether we are scared of storms, feeling alone or anxious, we are here connected with our invisible string. And that is a beautiful way that we connect with God, because we might not always see God. We might not always feel God. We might think God is somewhere else. But like the invisible string, we are connected. No one is ever alone. The invisible string. Today's scripture is about don't worry, don't be anxious. God is right there. So we are going to sing Don't Be Afraid, and then we're going to head to Kids Church.
Let's gather our hearts in prayer. Let us pray. O Holy One, we praise you for the gifts of this autumn day, for chipmunks darting in and out of the garden, for birds at the feeder, for the thanksgiving that we feel when we see one another this morning. Before we even ask, we are forgiven. Before we notice, we are blessed. Before we pray, we are already held in your love, invisible strings of love. For the blessing of your unending grace, we give you thanks, O God. Generous God, whenever we perceive scarcity, open to us the embrace of your reality of plenty. Whenever we feel isolated and abandoned, open us to risking companionship. Whenever we shrink from your touch out of shame and fear, prepare us, we pray, for transformation. Whenever we are filled with worry and alarm, O God, create a space within us for your embrace, opening us to moments of healing and wholeness. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Maria is going to read our scripture today.
Reading from Matthew chapter 6. Therefore, I say to you, don't worry about your life, what you'll eat or what you'll drink, or about your body, what you'll wear. Isn't life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds in the sky. They don't sow seed or harvest grain, or gather crops into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Aren't you worth much more than they are? Who among you, by worrying, can add a single moment to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? Notice how the lilies in the field grow. They don't wear themselves out with work, and they don't spin clothes. But I say to you that even Solomon in all of his splendor wasn't dressed like one of these. If God dresses grass in the field so beautifully, even though it's alive today and tomorrow, it's thrown into the furnace, won't God do much more for you? You people of weak faith. Therefore, don't worry and say, what are we going to eat? Or, what are we going to drink? Or, what are we going to wear? Gentiles long for all these things. Your heavenly Father knows that you need them. Instead, desire first and foremost God's kingdom and God's righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
One of the challenges of coming back to in-person worship, especially with two newbies, is we're going to have some technical glitches, and we're certainly having those today, we're missing a few things from our PowerPoint, so thank you for your patience with that. Even though it wasn't quite what you expected on the PowerPoint, I trust many of you have heard that hymn before. It's a wonderful song, isn't it? I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. Deepening our trust in God's goodness gives us extraordinary freedom. When I hear the scripture lesson that Maria read for us a few minutes ago, there's another song that comes to my mind as well as this one. Maybe it came to your mind too. Here's a little song I wrote. You might want to sing it note for note. Don't worry, be happy. Oh, there it is. Bobby McFerrin, all right. It's a great song. It won a Grammy Award, but I'm not sure it's particularly good advice, honestly. If your rent is due and you can't pay, you worry, right? If you're not sure where your next meal is coming from, and maybe some of us know what that is like, you worry, right? So when Jesus says, don't worry about your life, it's tempting to dismiss his advice. What do you mean, don't worry? Of course we worry. Even if we have food in our fridge, even if we have a roof overhead, we worry. We have rent or mortgage payments. We have credit card payments and lots of other bills to pay. We've got responsibilities. We have to plan for retirement, those of us that aren't there yet. We've got people we care about, children and grandchildren or aging parents and friends, loved ones who are unemployed or ill or depressed or grieving. We worry. Of course we worry. We worry about crime and poverty. We worry about COVID-19. We worry about cancer and mental illness. We worry about the earth and climate change. We worry about the future. There is so much to worry about. So when I first read our gospel reading this past week, my first instinct, as always, was to argue. Don't worry about your life, what you will eat or drink or what you will wear. Look at the birds of the air. Look at the lilies in the field. God looks after them. You are more important than birds and flowers, so don't worry. God knows what you need. God will look after you. Okay. Let's just consider those birds for a moment. They don't sow or reap, but they don't live very long either. And I've never seen any creature more than the hummingbirds that we have been enjoying all summer long, who work so hard to keep themselves fed. Jesus was not an ornithologist. But that's not the point. Jesus didn't claim that birds and flowers live forever any more than he was suggesting that if we seek first the kingdom of God, that we will live trouble-free lives, that we don't have to worry about anything, free from all need and care. Jesus isn't talking about airtight guarantees. He's talking about radical trust and faith, about learning to live with deep trust in God. It's not easy. It's radical. And it's right. The reign of God, God's righteousness, means right relationships. Loving God, loving and caring for one another, loving and caring for all of creation. That's what seeking first the kingdom of God is about. Seeking God's righteousness in our world. When we make our financial security our main preoccupation, we are distracted from what's really worth worrying about. When we get anxious about the necessities of life, or let's face it, the problem I face every Sunday morning, what tie am I going to wear? We lose track of our source, the source of life, the reason for life. Like Christ says, can worrying add a single day to our lives? Nope, quite the opposite. He's not suggesting that we throw caution to the wind or that we stop planning ahead. Jesus is suggesting that we get our priorities straight, that we focus on God's reign. And it may be very tough to do. It goes against our most basic human instinct. It's so hard for us to shift our focus away from our own needs to the greater needs of the world, even when such a shift would be good for all of us. In a culture where we exalt individualism and independence, Christ calls us to radical, grateful dependence on God. Worrying about ourselves doesn't add a single day to our own lives, and yet it robs the world of even a taste of God's kingdom. We're afraid of giving ourselves completely to God's kingdom of justice and love. We're afraid of what we would lose, that it wouldn't work out. Jesus said, "Seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be given to you as well." But we have so much trouble believing it that we can't even try sometimes to live that way. Last week, as we celebrated Thanksgiving, we acknowledged how much we have to be thankful for. So much, right? God does provide our needs, even when we're stressed and full of anxiety. God has guided and strengthened us through them time after time. Learning to trust God for our needs is a spiritual discipline that can take a long time to attain. But like the song says, it can give us freedom. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. That freedom takes time to cultivate as we deepen our trust in God. A good place to start is remembering. Remembering all that God has seen us through before. Remembering all that God has done for us so far. in our own lives and in the lives of God's people since time began. How God has provided for what we need. Whenever I'm anxious about the future or some particular challenge in my life, I find it helpful to think back on all the difficult times that God has seen me through. Challenges in relationships, worries about our kids as they grow up. We hope grow up. Leaving jobs, living through unemployment, finding new jobs. The grief of losing someone I love, especially my mom 3 years ago, after she had a very sudden stroke. And the list goes on and on and on. How God has sustained me and brought me through so many moments filled with anxiety and fear. And remembering that helps me to trust again now, whatever that anxiety might be. Sometimes it's still really hard, but it helps. And what also helps is to make the intentional, conscious choice to shift my focus away from myself onto the needs of others. To focus on the values of the reign of God. It's not just the right thing to do spiritually or ethically, it's also really good practice for our mental health, it turns out. One of the important ways of breaking out of depression and anxiety, I know from personal experience and from others, is to shift our focus away from ourselves to the needs of others. And how we can help others. When we find the freedom to look past our own needs and to pursue the reign of God, that's when we discover what it means to live lives of gratitude, lives of abundance instead of scarcity. And God gives us that freedom. Jesus didn't suggest that we shouldn't pay attention to our own needs, not at all. We need the necessities of life. We need to look after ourselves. But no matter how much we have, no matter how much food we eat, no matter how many nice clothes we have, our anxiety will never fade. If that's our focus, if we look for security and fulfillment in those things, we will never find it. But we find something essential, eternal, and enduring when we focus on the reign of God. Let us seek first the kingdom of God. Amen. Going to sing it for us once first, and then we invite you to join in again with the first verse.
Thank you. bows as our offering is brought forward.
O God, we offer these gifts. Use all that we offer, we pray, to make your reign on earth. May your kingdom come, O God, and may we cooperate it with our whole hearts, that all might know enough. All might know the abundance of the earth. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's continue to pray as we gather our hearts with the prayers for ourselves, for our loved ones, for our community and our world. Let us pray. O God, you have given us everything we need. This earth to live upon and the food that we need. As if that were not enough, God, you have also given us your Spirit and all of the spiritual gifts we need. We thank you. We thank you for that invisible string that connects us to one another and to you always, that we are never alone. That you are always with us, and that you care about what happens to us each moment, each day. Oh God, we lift up our worries to you. It is difficult to let go of them, but we are so thankful that we can bring all of our worries to you in prayer. In trust. So we offer our concern for this world and all who live in it, all of the creatures, the waters and the sky and the earth itself, suffering and groaning with climate change and pollution. Oh God, help us not to be overwhelmed by what needs to be done. Help us to act with hope and love for this earth. We pray for those who are living with the effects of climate change, for those who are fleeing warfare and disaster, for those who have lost homes, for those who are living with violence and fear. We pray, O God, that you would draw near to them and help us to make peace in our world and to build your loving community where all will have enough. We pray for those that are on our hearts, loved ones and friends and neighbors who are struggling with illness or injury, mental illness, deep anxiety. Oh God, draw near and set them free. Bring healing and wholeness, we pray. Comfort and a deep awareness of your presence. Help us, O God, to seek first your reign in our lives and in our world. Set us free from all that would worry us so much, that we might be empowered to live as citizens of your kingdom. For we pray in the name of Jesus, who taught us how to pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Friends, let us go from this place to seek first the reign of God. God has given us in abundance all that we need. God sets us free. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the freedom of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit go with us and bless us today and forevermore. Amen. Peace be with you.